If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like you to turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 15 at the beginning. Now keep your Bibles handy tonight. Don't close them. Keep them there on your lap open. If you use a smartphone or an iPad, keep it up and running. And don't be surfing Facebook while you're reading the Bible. But we're going to look at Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Then we're going to move down to back to Joshua 6, and then we'll look at several other places. So if you're able to stand tonight, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Joshua chapter 5, starting with verse 13. And here the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, I'm asking now to anoint me for just a few minutes to be able to expound on this text. God, may you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've titled the message tonight, "How Tall Is Your Wall?" How tall is your wall? You know, as we read this text, we have to understand exactly what's been going on. Well, the children of Israel has been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years because of their sin, because of their disobedience, because of their defiance of God, because of their lack of faith in the Lord. They've been wandering around for 40 years, and the ones that left out of there, well, most of those all died away. There wasn't anybody too young, and then Caleb and Joshua that got to go over into the Promised Land, but they've been wandering around for all that time. At this point in their lives, their leader, Moses, was now gone. He didn't get to go into the Promised Land. The Lord let him look at it from up on top of the mountain before he took him. And so their leader, Moses, is gone, but they got a new leader now. And this leader is wanting to follow the Lord. And Joshua, he was once the captain there of Moses' army, and he now becomes the leader. God is appointing him to be leading the children of Israel. And he is following the leadership of God with the children of Israel. He wants to make sure they do everything the way they're supposed to do. Well, they had gotten, of course, we know they come out of Egypt's bondage and wandered for 40 years, but now they're coming down to the last part where they're finally going to get to go over into the land that God has given them and promised them. But they have to cross over the swollen Jordan River. As they get there and it's swollen and they don't know how they're going to cross, and the Lord performs another miracle and allows them to cross over that swollen Jordan, and they get on the other side on dry land. And of course they mark the place to show what God hath done. Well, when they did this, their enemies, all those other people in those, all those lands around there, friends, their hearts melted. They were scared to death. They saw all these thousands of people, and they knew that their Lord, the Lord God Jehovah, was the God. And so they were afraid, and they saw all these people crossing over. Well, and so before Joshua and the children of Israel can enter into the Promised Land, they've got to get past a place. And this place is called Jericho. Well, there's an interesting thing about Jericho. Jericho is known for its huge walls around the city. I mean, these walls, they say, were unpenetrable. You know, these walls, even old Stretch Armstrong couldn't get his arms around. I mean, these are huge walls. The way they were built, I'll give you a little detail of what they say these were built like. But Jericho was the oldest city in that land of Canaan. It was well established. It was a thriving city. Lots of people. And these stone walls were known throughout all the world of their how they're impenetrable. It's impossible, people said, to break through the walls of Jericho, the most protected city in the land. Well, the city of Jericho was built up on this large mound. And so it was already up high. And this large mound of earth surrounding this embankment, it had the stone retaining wall around it. Well, and then on top of this, there was a 12 to 15 foot high wall and another mud brick wall that was 6 feet thick and 25 feet tall. Now, this is all, remember, up on an embankment. So it's getting higher and higher as we go. And that it was at the crest of the embankment was another wall the base of it was 45 feet above the ground level outside the retaining wall. So if you're standing at the walls of Jericho and you're looking up, you're looking at 70 feet in front of you. 70 feet tall walls surrounding this city that nobody's going to get through it. They shut the gates on that city. Friends, you're not getting in. You're not getting in. You're not getting out. And that's what everybody said. Well, so the only way for Joshua and the children of Israel to get to the promised land, to take what God says He's given them, they've got to get through this. They've got to get through this. And so they are standing in front of what looks to be impossible. This is impossible according to man. Well, as we move forward, look at Joshua 6 and look at verses 1 through 5 of the next chapter, Joshua chapter 6. It says here, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. You see, just like I said, when the children of Israel crossed over there, their hearts melted. They become afraid. And so what did they do? They said, let's get in the city. Let's lock it up tight so those people can't get in here because we're afraid of them. Well, in verse 2 said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, and I want you to pay attention to this. If you underline things in your Bible, underline these words. The Lord says, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You see what's happened here. The Lord has already told Joshua, He says, I've given you this city. Before they even tried to take it, before they even marched around any walls, before they even shouted anything, God said, I give you this city. It's already yours. I'm giving it to you. Verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, to me, that sounds like, all right, guys, this is all we got to do. I mean, just do what the Lord says. He's going to let this city just fall. We don't have to fight. We don't have to do anything. He's just going to knock these walls down if we'll just listen to what He says. Well, for time's sake, we're not going to read all this next part, but skip down to verse 20. And we're going to find that the children of Israel did exactly what God instructed them to do. Look at it. Verse 20, Joshua 6. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, and the edge with the edge of the sword. So, we find that the children of Israel right here are being obedient for once in their life. They're being obedient. And so it took them 7 days to do this. God said, I'm going to have you do this 6 days. And on that 7th day is when all this is going to take place. So God had all of this mapped out. He knew exactly how He wanted it done. He gave His instructions to the captain, to their leader, Joshua. He said, Joshua, make it happen. And so what's He do? He makes it happen. And so they're being obedient. And they do exactly what God has told them to do. And because they did that, the wall fell. The wall fell. Now, I want you to turn quickly over to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10. And we're going to see that this thing that Joshua did, it seemed to be impossible. Man would have said, Joshua, you need to just give up on this right here, son, because nobody has ever broken these walls of Jericho. You can't do it. You don't have the strength. You don't have any machinery. You don't have anything to make this happen. And you sure ain't going to make it fall down by marching around it and screaming and hollering and shouting. You're not going to be able to do that. And that's what the world would say. It's impossible. Well, so we're going to see here what's happened. First, though, I want you to look at Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. This is a very familiar story that Jesus tells. Look at it, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And then he says this very odd statement. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Now, you might think I'm crazy because I went over and pulled this out of the New Testament. But what I want you to understand here is that the Bible says, the Lord says, with God, all things are possible. Joshua, give up, son. Give up. You're not one to tear down a wall like this. And you know what the world will tell us? Y'all just need to give up. Y'all need to give up. You just ain't doing no good. You need to give up. You know what? That church used to have 400 people in it, you know? I remember back in the 70s, that church had 300 running in it. And people come to me, how many are you running down there? Well, we've got some faithful people down there. That's what I tell them. We got some faithful people down there. And they come every time the door's open. But people's always talking about numbers and all this stuff. And they base all your success on numbers and bank accounts and all this stuff. But what they're leaving out is the truth of the church. Church is that we're the pillar and the ground of truth, and we preach the truth out of the gospel of God's word, and we stand firm on the faith, and we don't waver, and we don't kneel to the world and bow down to the world's ways and things. And friends, I want you to know the Lord will bless our efforts, because the Bible says, for with God all things are possible. Did the Bible ever say, I call you to fill up pews? No, it didn't say that. What did it say? It said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. That's what the Bible says the church is to do. And so we know that as long as we're being faithful and obedient to God, He's going to bless our efforts. Well, when the average person runs into a wall, what do they do? Depends on how big it is. Now, I was telling you the other day about my crazy nephew, and Mom, I didn't tell you what I was talking about, but I believe you know. Had a crazy nephew when I was growing up, and we would keep him at the house sometimes, and if there was a wall anywhere, he'd scale that wall. He'd climb over it, and he'd do whatever, you know. He was crazy. But most people, when they come up with a wall in front of them, if they have to get around it, they're going to try to figure out some way if it ain't too tall. Well, they don't look too bad. I believe I can scale that. I believe I can stand on a chair, get me a ladder, and I can get around that wall right there probably pretty good. But now, if that wall is 70 feet tall, and they're standing up looking at it, and they're like me, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, ain't no way I'm doing that. I just don't think I can handle that right there. Now, my papaw might could. Back in the 40s, you know, Preacher Spencer, he probably could have scaled that wall, but I can't do that. And that's us. That's our flesh. That's our faith. As our faith is so small, when we have a wall come up before us and we start clicking our tongues and shaking our heads, well, I can't do that. That wall's too big for me. Something comes up in our life that seems like a huge obstacle that we'll never get across, we'll never get over. And we'll say, I'm never going to get through this. I can't get over this wall. But you know what the Bible said? With God, all things are possible. And as Joshua stood there and he did exactly what God said to do. And let me tell you this. If they had went around that city 5 times and stopped, it'd never fail. If they went around 6 times and didn't go on the 7th day and do what he said to do, it would not have fallen. They had to do what God said to do. Why? Because he expects our obedience. He expects our faith. He wants us to do it his way. And so if we do it God's way, what's going to happen? God is going to do it, because with God, all things are possible. So for us, and for the world, for man, they look at our problems, they look at the things that come up in our life, and we say, this wall is too tall, it's impossible for me to get around, and there's no way I'm going to do it. Joshua could have hung his head, and he could have said, Lord, you know, we made a good run at it. Lord, you know, you brought us this far, and I appreciate it and all, but we're just going to go back over the Jordan. We're going to just, you know, get in the plains, back in the wilderness, and we're just going to hang out there. We was doing okay back then. You know, we'll just hang out over there because we can't get over this wall. It's too tall. It's too big. It's too thick. It's too guarded. We just can't do it, Lord. And that's what Joshua could have done if Joshua was like most people today. Most church members today don't have enough faith, don't have enough obedience to step out and do what God has told them to do. But when you look in the Bible, you'll find many tall walls that people have had to overcome. And we look at our little problems and we think they're so huge. But listen to some of these. Moses. He had to overcome, first of all, a speech problem. You remember when the Lord told him, I want you to lead my people out of bondage? And what did he say? He was the Mel Tillis of the Old Testament. You know, I can't speak. Yeah, and the Lord, he made a way for him to speak. And he had insecurity problems. But God, what if they won't listen to me? Who am I going to say sent me? They're never going to believe me. He also had a murder charge on his hands. You remember that? 40 years ago, he killed a soldier and then he took off and ran. And he also did not have any experience with doing this. He's been a shepherd for 40 years up on the mountain tending to his father-in-law's sheep. And so Moses had to overcome all of these obstacles. He had this huge wall in front of him and he wanted to quit. He wanted to give up. He didn't want to do it until God convinced him otherwise. And what happened? He stepped out on faith and he did what God said to do. And what happened? With God, all things are possible. And he led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. And they got out of there, friends, because with God, all things are possible. What about Elijah? Remember Elijah the prophet? My favorite Old Testament prophet. Elijah the prophet, he had overcome self-pity complex. He had a complex. They call it today the Elijah complex. I'm the only one serving the Lord. Everybody else gave up. I'm the only one. Oh, Lord, woe's me. He had a complex, friends. And not only that, he had states of depression. And he would get down and down in the mully grubs and get down and just feel sorry for himself. He had all these problems with him. And by the way, he had a death warrant on him too. Jezebel hated that man. She had a death warrant. Anybody go, let's go kill that prophet. But with the help of the Lord, he knocked down every one of those walls. Elijah was able to call down fire from heaven. I want you to know that Elijah turned out to be one of the greatest prophets you'll ever read about in the Bible. But he had walls in front of him that had to be torn down. What about the Apostle Peter? I'll tell you what. Now, you all know how much I love Paul. Because I preach about him all the time and I study on it. I love Paul. But if I identify with anybody in the Bible, it has to be Paul. It has to be Paul. Paul makes me feel better about myself. I mean, Peter. Peter makes me feel better about myself. Because I tell you what, if anybody could mess things up, it was that guy. He had so many problems in his life. He had an anger problem. He was uneducated. He was stubborn. He was hot-headed, very impulsive. I mean, he was the first one to step out and do something. He cut people's ears off. You know, he's the first one to step out of the boat. And then he turns around and looks at the raging sea and starts sinking. I mean, this guy makes me feel good about myself. But Peter had all these walls in front of him. And let's not forget the incident where he denied Christ three times and that rooster crowed. Don't forget that huge wall. Now that he is now going to be the preacher of the church, the one that would preach on the day of Pentecost and over 3,000 get saved, and he'd usher in the New Testament church because Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he said, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. What did he mean? He meant, I'm going to allow you to be the one that preaches, that ushers in the New Testament church. You got the key, friend. Peter overcome all those walls in his life. They looked huge. They looked insurmountable. They looked like there was no way he could penetrate or break that wall in his life, especially that denial of Christ and claiming he didn't even know who he was and cursing about it. But yet what happened? With God, all things are possible. And Peter become one of the greatest preachers to ever live on the face of the earth. The truth is, these walls that look so tall to us, like there's no way we can overcome them, God has already made a way. He's already made a way. Our problem is, we don't look for that way. We don't try that way. We don't want to put our feet in that path that leads that way. We want to give up because it looks too hard for us. But God has made a way. If you look back at Joshua 2, you'll notice that before Joshua and the children of Israel had even started to march around the walls of Jericho, the Lord had already made a way there in Joshua 6 and 2. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Now, maybe you think that, well, that was fortunate for them that the Lord did all that for them. Well, no, it wasn't fortunate. It was the way that God had it designed, and it was the plan that God had laid out, and they were obedient and faithful to follow it. Because the Hebrew writer, you know what he says caused the walls to fall? Listen, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." What caused that wall to fall? Faith. They had the faith that God was going to do this. All they did was step out on faith and were obedient to it. What's that say about us? When that wall comes up in our life and, "Oh, I can't get around this. I can't break this down. Oh no, Lord, I can't do it." What's that say about us? Because the Bible tells us here, with God, all things are possible. Then why are we questioning God's Word? Why are we doubting God's Word? Let me ask you tonight, how tall is your wall? How tall is it? Is it so tall you can't get over it? The Kingsmen sing that old song, one of my favorite songs. You know, "So high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. You got to come in at the door." You know what? God makes the door for you. But you got to have faith. You got to step out in obedience and faith and walk through that door. Because what looks insurmountable to us, and we can't see anything much further than right here in front of our face, God's got it all mapped out, and He sees the whole plan. He knows exactly what to do if we'll just be faithful to Him and do it. Because with God, all things are possible. One of our problems we have is we think we got to help God out all the time. "God, I've got this figured out, Lord, and this is what I'm going to do." Listen, God has gave us a lot of promises in His Word. He assures us that He is in control. He assures us that. I'm reminded of several people in the Bible that thought they had to help God out. You remember Abraham and Sarah? When God said He was going to allow them to have a son, what'd they do? "We need to help God out. Let's just do things on our own." And what happened? It backfired, didn't it? They had that son Ishmael. And what was the result of that? That was not good. Hagar, the handmaiden. And this was not God's plan. It was not His idea. God had already had everything under control and planned out. And they strayed off of God's plan and became disobedient and unfaithful and did it in their own way instead of God's way. And because of that disobedience, we see the results. Sarah became very jealous of Hagar, run them out of the camp. And what happened? Abraham, not knowing what to do about the situation, he abandoned his leadership duties and just whatever happens, he just become a big dummy when all this happened. And so Sarah sent Hagar away, and Hagar had Ishmael, which made Abraham the father of the Arab nation. The conflict between the Muslims and the people of Israel is still going on to this very day because of this right here. Because they didn't do it God's way. Friends, we need to do things God's way. Secondly, we become very impatient, and when we do that, we're in the danger of messing everything up. When we try to rush God, we try to rush His way. We think, "Well, I'm smart enough. I've got the funds to do this. I've got the abilities and the talent and the means to do this. I'll just go out and do it, Lord." That's the way I am. I've done that all my life. My daddy looked at me all the time. He said, you do everything the hard way. And I do. I do. My whole life, I've always done that. Listen, we don't need to do everything the hard way. We need to do it God's way. It took the children of Israel 7 days to bring down the walls of Jericho. Now, if that had been us, we'd been figuring out a way to make that shorter. 7 days? Are you kidding me? I think I'd get that done in two. Yeah, I know some guys. And we'll get that done in two. I'll call some of my friends over here, and we'll start digging trenches. And we'll get the mattocks out and the shovels, and we'll get this thing done. We'll get it done before 7 days, Lord. You'll be proud of me. I'll get it done in two. Watch me. And that's what we are. We think that, and we become impatient. We want to rush things. And these people, they were probably looking at Joshua like he was crazy. Now, wait a minute. Run this by us again. We're going to go march around this place 7 times for 6 days. And then the last day, we're going to yell out real loud. The wall's going to fall. Is that what we're hearing? Because it don't sound right to our ears. That sounds kind of stupid to me, Joshua. Come on now. Let's have the real plan. I imagine that a lot of them had doubts that this was going to happen. But they were faithful and obedient, and they went through it, and they did it just exactly what God said. What does he mean? Make us march around these walls 7 days. Well, that's ridiculous. And that's one of our biggest problems nowadays. We're impatient about everything. Impatient. We think we got to have it now. We talked about this morning immediately. You know, everything's got to be instant. Instant potatoes. Instant coffee. Instant this and instant that. And so, you know, and people today, young people, when they get married, they think they got to have everything their parents had right when they get married. I got to have a house and 3 cars and, you know, a big screen TV and all this stuff. And so they go out and they get in debt and they buy all this stuff so they can live like their parents lived, that their parents worked for 40 years to get all that stuff. But we got to have it now. Ching, ching, ching. Gold card, silver card. You know, let's charge it all up. Let's buy it now. And so we become impatient. We can't wait on anything. I'm here putting we put a television in the layaway when we first got married. We got married 33 years ago, March 15th. This is coming March 15th. 33 years ago. And we went to Kmart and we bought one of those TVs. It was in a case this big. It must have been $1 million, but we put it in the layaway and we paid on it forever and ever and ever and ever. And we finally got that thing out. And, by the time we got it out, it was pretty much obsolete. And they come out with the new TVs, and, you know, ours was just a big old box, big wood box. But we waited. We were patient, and we waited on that thing. Not today. You want something today? Just go over on Amazon and, you know, push a button. Get it delivered to the door in 2 days. So we become very impatient. Well, when we become impatient and we cut corners and we want everything instant, I want you to know instant things usually aren't as good as the real thing. Instant potatoes are nowhere near the real thing. I'll tell you that right now. All right, I don't have nothing on my wife's potatoes. When she stands there and she peels for an hour, it takes an hour because we eat about a whole bag every time we eat them. But she peels them potatoes and she boils them on the stove, cuts them up and pulls them on the stove and gets them just right and tests them with a fork, makes sure they're just right. And then she gets them out in that bowl and she gets at that mixer and the milk and the butter and all this stuff. And boy, she's going around, you know, and it takes an hour, but I want you to know that's the best thing you ever put in your mouth. Now, you can go in the cabinet. You can get the oritas out of there and pour them out in the dish and put water in it and stick it in the microwave and have it in about 2 minutes. It ain't nothing like the real thing. And so when we cut corners on the Lord, when we're impatient and we want everything now and we jump out and do it all on our own, it's never as good if we've done it God's way. Never as good. Now, I don't know if you've caught on to what this entire Battle of Jericho is all about. So let me pull you in and finish up this. God already made the way. We've read it 3 times, Joshua 6 and 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Before the first march had ever been marched, before the first shout had ever been shouted, before the first blast of the trumpet was ever blown, God had it all under control. Do you not think that a God that can speak the world into existence, that can take the dust of the ground and breathe life into man, do you not think a God that can do the creation that he has done can take care of a tall wall in your life? You think he can't do that? Friends, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. So that wall that to you looks insurmountable, impenetrable, no way to get over it, no way to get under it, no way to get around it, you need the Lord there to help you with that. And what you need to do is by faith, because what the Bible say? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. The number one thing that God wants in our lives as Christians is our faith. Our faith, our obedience, that's what God wants above all things. Above your comfort, God wants your faith and obedience. Before your happiness, God wants your faith and obedience. Before anything in your life, God wants your faith and your obedience. That's what he wants. What about it tonight? You have that wall in your life? You need it knocked down? Won't you pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of that wall in my life. I hate it. I hate that wall in my life. I need you to tear it down for me. I've been beating on it all my life.
I've been beating on it for years. Been beating on it for months, Lord. I need that thing down. I'm sick of it. God, I've got the faith that you said with you all things are possible. Would you help me? Is that you tonight? Do you need that wall knocked down? Would you pray? Would you get right with the Lord? Would you just come clean with Him and throw it down at His feet and say, God, take that wall down for me? Oh, if that's you tonight, I'm going to ask Him to come get the invitation song. And if you need God to knock a wall out of your life, friends, I want you to know you need to come to Him and ask. You need to pray. Have the faith that He can knock that wall down for you. He can do it. Let's all stand tonight. And I want to pray as they get the invitation song ready. If you have a need for anything tonight, would you come to the altar and pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message. Lord, we've done all we can do. Lord, we pray that we've been obedient to your word and God and said exactly what you'd have us to say. God, you know the hearts of each man and woman in this building. You know the walls that are represented here tonight. God, we can hide the walls from other people, but we can't from you. And God, you know how they look to us impossible to break down. God, to us it looks like there's just no way that we can get through this. But Lord, we know that you said that with God all things are possible. And we have enough faith, God, that we trusted Jesus to save us. So we have enough faith, God, to know that you can tear those walls down in our lives. And Lord, we're just asking for that tonight. Lord, if there's one in a struggle, Lord, whether it be for salvation, backslidden condition, some insurmountable wall in their life, God, would you lead them to the altar tonight? Let us pray with them, God. Get this thing cleaned up for them. Help us tonight, Father. Go ahead, brother, sing. If you need help, you come down tonight.